Thank you for listening to this DuPont Media production, available on all major podcast platforms. This is Rod Peterson on Demand. If it has a score, we cover it more. From football to lacrosse, hockey to baseball, we've got what you want. Welcome to the Rod Peterson Show.
Hey, Merry Christmas, everybody. Good morning. Happy Friday. Happy Football Friday. Welcome to the Rod Peterson Show as we get rolling in hour one of the program out of the bunker here in Western Canada. I'm the host, Rod Peterson, along with the co-host, Darren DuPont. How you doing, Dupes?
Good morning. Merry Christmas.
Hey, folks. I'm the chief. He's the vice chief. How's that?
Yep, that's good.
We'll take it.
Yeah.
And he is the grand poobah, John Lynch, joining us right on set in the bunker here in the rollout. How you doing, Frenzy?
I'm doing great, Rod. Looking forward to Christmas.
Are you?
Yep.
Why specifically, Frenzy?
I'm going to watch a lot of football.
What a shock.
Specifically,
Breaking news. John Lynch is going to watch football over the holidays.
How many guys are going to watch that triple header tomorrow, eh?
Quite a few.
Who?
Quite a few. Yeah. And actually, that will lead into our poll question today, which we'll get into. Listen, it's going to be a lot of football talk today. It's what we call a Football Friday here. And it is, watch your toes, Paul. I'm going to drop some names. Tyron Brackenridge, a Grey Cup winning safety with the Saskatchewan Roughriders. Last we heard, secondary coach with the Toronto Argonauts, T-Brack's going to be with us today. Jordan Reeves, Saskatchewan Roughriders defensive end, pending free agent, brother of Vegas Golden Knights pugilist Ryan Reeves. Jordan will be with us today. From the Calgary Stampeders, Richard Sindani, right here in the bunker. And our director of scouting, two-time Grey Cup champion Craig Smith. So if that isn't enough, I'd like to roll back and forth between CFL, NFL, college football, because it is a Football Friday. Lynch has his thoughts, not so much breaking news, but in the car ride up here, if you watch my Instagram story, it's the highlight of a lot of people's weeks when I pick Lynch up.
Yes.
Right at his South Regina palatial estate. And that drive from South Regina to where we are in Northeast Regina, John, I quite enjoy those. You know that?
We learn a lot. We get a lot going. Well, we got our agenda for the day, right?
Our agenda for the day. And Lynch has his take on the Halifax football situation, a little bit on the Alouettes and so forth. But I don't have a real agenda or itinerary today. Can I offer this, a check-in Friday like we used to do on the old show?
Sure.
More so than ever. I mean, a lot of people chime in right when we go to air with where they're watching from. I see Wendell Clarkson, Saskatoon, is watching today. Jack Fulton writing from Calgary. Merry Christmas to Rod, Dupes, Frenzy, and all the very best in 2020. Love you guys. Love the RP show. Love you too, Jack. Lynch and I were just saying today, I said to Lynch, how's your Christmas? Are you going to go to Calgary? Because you got family there. And you said, what would I do in Calgary? You said that, Lynch.
Yeah, I did.
You didn't mean that as an insult, did you?
I meant it as a realism. It means that I would be honor bound to see Ken Newlands and Jared Joint,
right?
Former great people in Regina who are not great people now. Funny how you change, eh, Doof?
Yeah.
Because they're going to cry about their quarterback.
The Stampeders.
Yeah,
right.
And their quarterback. They don't like Bolivia anymore.
Well, this is all part of what we'll get to with Lynch in our football discussion this morning over coffee. So I want you to check in, please, from wherever you're watching from or listening on the Prairie Mobile text line 306-840-8777 from Prairie Mobile, your Sasktel authorized dealer. Now, thank you, Nelson, because he has written in and says the bowl season starts today. Makers wanted Bahamas Bowl at 1 p.m. How perfect is that, Darren, with what we were going to talk about?
It's perfect.
Here's a little theme that we're going to run through the show. And I want you guys on the sponsors coach to think about this. And you guys, your bowl game name would be the last restaurant you ate at and the last thing you bought. And when I first saw that, it was last week. We were coming home from Houston. So I thought real quickly in my mind, the last restaurant we ate at was the Guadalajara Mexican restaurant. And yeah, the last thing I bought was a Tim Hortons. So my bowl game name is the Guadalajara Tim Hortons Bowl.
That's good.
Good. Sounds good.
Yeah, sounds real.
Who's in it? Who's going to play in it?
Oh, you got all the questions.
Rice. Mitch. Rice will play it.
Rice University is playing in that bowl game, the Guadalajara Tim Hortons Bowl. It sounds great. Like Paul's sitting over there with his Petaguana Ricky And he said he could see the name in lights.
We need a logo.
The Guadalajara Tim Hortons Bowl. Can you do that, Paul, on one of your apps?
You know, it would be, you'd be have the Tim Hortons logo, and then there'd be a little iguana in front of it.
Right! Ricky would be the mascot. So we're going to have fun today. Kenny Stromberg writing in today. Penalty Box Boys is, Merry Christmas, you filthy animals. It's our last Friday before Christmas, so let's not get too serious here today. Let's just have some fun. Here we go, from Nelson, Tropical Smoothie Cafe Frisco Bowl. Oh, that's an actual bowl game. Okay.
So at 6:30.
That's an actual. I thought he bought a tropical smoothie.
How many bowl games are there? 23? Oh, no. Well,
there was over 70 last year. Smitty, you'd know.
I think there's 40.
40-some. Our director of scouting, Craig Smith, is in the bunker, and he'll be joining us shortly. From Paul Drouin, the Lancaster's Pet Smart Iguana Bowl. I could see that happening.
That's a good one.
But you know what? I'll say this as we talk football, and we'll get down to a few things here. It was not as busy of a week in the Canadian Football League as it was last week, right?
Last week was unbelievable, guys. Come on.
Right. That was the biggest week of the offseason. We have a tough time matching that until at least free agency starts.
We got the schedule last week, though. Hey, got the schedule.
Monday, the schedule came out. You're right. And I have not had you on Frenzy since the Ryder schedule came out. And for the fans of all other CFL teams, I'd like to know your thoughts on that. I mean, I did actually go back and look at it a little more. It's a wonderful schedule. It's Friday, Saturday.
Not like last year. That's
mostly Saturdays.
Yeah, and not like last year with five or three games on the road at the end of the year. I mean,
yeah. How did they do in those three games?
Two and one.
Oh, you knew it. You're right on the bit.
It was quick.
Have you thought what your bowl game name is?
No,
yet,
I got to think.
Can
about
you think
this.
About it?
I
got to
think about this one.
Yours was the yours was the Golden Corral Pepto-Bismol Bowl.
Yeah, if it was in Houston, I just recovered from food poisoning. So don't think it came from Golden Corral. And that was the first restaurant I had eaten at. So yeah, at that point, it was the Golden Corral Pepto-Bismol Bowl, which kind of works too.
Mine's
Mr. Mike's. Great.
It sounds awesome.
I want to watch that. What channel's got that game?
Yeah, the Ocho.
Mine's ESPN Mr. Mike's. Mr. Mike's.
What's the last thing you bought, Lynch? What's the last thing you opened your wallet for?
A steak. Steak.
A steak?
Mr. Mike's Steak Bowl.
Okay. That's not
and
bad
it's
either.
Have, Texas A&M in against Liberty.
Ken Austin versus Johnny Manziel.
That's right.
Nelson. This is the last one we'll read from Nelson. The New Year's 6 bowl games, 33 additional bowl games, and the national championship game. What's that? That's 40 overall. And we will continue have this theme as we roll through. Ken Kiowski's watching. He says, the Grumpy's Yorkton Terrier Toque Bowl.
That's good, too.
We got to start writing these down.
Yeah.
I still like the Guadalajara Tim Hortons Bowl.
Because it's yours.
He's not wrong. He's not wrong. Shocking. The host loves his own bowl the best.
Yeah. The Mr. Mike's Steak Bowl. Listen, I don't have many things written down for topics, but the one thing, who blurted out Antonio Brown? Was it you, Paul? AB. Lynch actually thinks that Antonio Brown talked with the Toronto Argonauts and the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. That's what
wrong.
You said.
Beckman, Cleveland Brown.
Oh, Odell Beckham Jr., sorry. What's the difference?
He's talked to a lot of teams right now. He's talking with the Winnipeg Bombers and Toronto Argonauts in the Canadian Football League. The last thing he said last night, he's going to leave Cleveland. Leave Cleveland. There's no doubt about it.
I think you might have been watching the replay on the NFL Network. I think he came out yesterday and said he's not leaving Cleveland.
Well, we'll wait and see.
And I apologize for confusing AB and OBJ. Man, alphabet soup of troubled NFL receivers. But, Darren, you're looking at me smiling. Do you actually think Odell Beckham Jr. talked to any CFL teams? Because I don't.
I don't know if he did. I can't imagine that happened. I would think there's a better chance that AB talked to some CFL teams rather than OBJ. But, yeah, it's fun that he joked about it because it just... For whatever reason, does it not add a little bit of credibility to the Canadian Football League that these guys are, know the teams? You kind of wonder how much of a distant kind of foreign land the Canadian Football League is, but he speaks of the Toronto Argonauts and the Winnipeg Blue Bombers like these guys all know who they are.
But you guys got to realize
something. But he's not calling them.
Well, come on now. He's getting hell from the Cleveland people, the bosses. He had 79 receptions 2 years ago, 75 last year. They're really down on him. He's having a hell of a poor year this year. Mm-hmm. He's got 67 receptions, which is pretty darn good, don't you think?
But
after 12 games,
every other team.
But he's not happy.
Not happy.
But every other team in the NFL would want him.
Yeah,
so
of course
he's never coming to Canada.
Of course.
Let's make that perfectly clear. Unless something happens and he becomes, you know, troubled, and they won't let him play in the NFL. But I don't think that's happening with OBJ. The worst thing he wants to do is wear an expensive watch on the field.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, you ardent NFL fans, tell me if I'm wrong here, but OBJ, despite being flamboyant and verbose, has never really been in trouble. Antonio Brown is a different story. When people talk about Antonio Brown coming to the CFL, and we've mentioned it on this show on past Fridays, there is an anti-violence against women policy in the CFL. And is there not at least one, maybe two charges against Antonio Brown?
Where is he going to wind up?
That led to him being released by the New England Patriots?
Well,
you would think that would need to be settled first.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you?
Yeah. Where is he going to wind up, though, period?
Well, he's got to get that settled first.
He's going to wind up nowhere.
Right. Well, you might end up in New England if he got it dealt with. Well, he could be the next Colin Kaepernick for sure. I'm going to, as we roll along, interject these. Edmund Bankowski says the Goose Beltliner Gorilla Whale Bowl. His son's three restaurants in Calgary.
Who's playing? Name the teams.
No, Lynch. Nobody cares but you. This Randy in Alberta had one about the Amazon Bowl. That's pretty good. Oh, and here's John Bulkey writes in. He says, Antonio Brown shouldn't be able to play in any league. That guy is a...
Why would you say
is
that?
Is a jerk.
Why would you say that?
Yeah, because there's no jerks come through the CFL, nor the NHL or any other league. It's not about whether you're a nice guy or not. As a matter of fact, it keeps coming up. This dinner that I did in Paradise Hill, Saskatchewan, talked about it with Rachel Holman yesterday on the show, and I was there with Daryl Sutter, Brian Sutter. Brian Sutter said the Hall of Fame's filled with guys that he wouldn't allow to walk his grandkids across the street.
Yeah.
It's not about being nice guys.
No, it isn't. It's about doing the job.
And back to OBJ. He's not coming to the CFL. That's who I'm with. I would say he is not coming to the CFL, but he's never been in trouble. He's like Terrell Owens. What did Terrell Owens ever do off the field to get in trouble? He's not one of those guys.
No. He's just right. Weird. He's just weird.
Yeah, and there's been no weird players come through the CFL either.
Yeah, that's...
Who's the weirdest, eh?
Yeah, you have to be a little bit... but those guys, yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's fun to talk about. It's fun that they're mentioning it, but... Yeah, no chance. I'd like to see, you know, where AB goes next, because he's still a talented receiver. But as we know, and we've seen it in pro football time and time again, even a little bit of time away from the game, and it's hard to get back to what you were before,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
As soon as you take that step back, even if it's a half a season, it doesn't seem to be the same in pro sports, period. Let alone a full year off. And so AB, you know, your mind's not in it. You're free. You maybe taste that freedom a little bit. You learn what it's like to sit on the couch for a few extra hours a day. You
well, what's it. Interesting, too, by the way, is next Friday, I'm a little down in the dumps because Tory Gurley told me that can't make it now. He's been called to Las Vegas to be part of that fantasy show that he's on.
No.
And it's a paid spot for him. So Tory, not only is he not going to be in the bunker, he's not coming to Regina at all to meet his fiance's family or at least have Christmas with him. So I'm a little down on that. However, Manny Arsenault will be here in the bunker. And Lynch and I were talking about him on the way up here in terms of, you know, free agents. And guys come to Saskatchewan. And Craig Smith, our director of scouting, would understand it because he's been with other teams in the league. Once you get here, there's nothing like it. Took Manny Arsenault his whole career to come here at the end and realize how great it is here. Lynch is like, why would he spend the winter here? Money talks, Mr. Whalen. He's got so many appearances that he's doing. He's Manny Arsenault. He's a huge star.
Now, the big question is, gentlemen.
Does he re-sign?
Will he be playing for the Rough Riders in 2020?
We can ask him next week.
What do you guys think?
That's when we get into the salary Tetris game.
Yeah, you know what?
How does it fit in?
That's exactly it. The salary Tetris game. I like that term. And if it happens, it happens late. You get
the
pieces you need.
I think he's a leader. He makes big plays. And for the 2020 year, we want to win that Grey Cup in Regina. We want to have our G.Y. Simon here this year. This year's G.Y. Simon will be Manny Arsenault. I hope he stays here. What you told me about him going to Weyburn there, I mean, that's terrific. Some great people in Weyburn. Some screwballs, too, but a lot of good people.
Well, that's the Highway 39 people, of which you and I are both Lynch. You were both a Highway 39
people. Too many years.
But I was supposed to go speak in Weyburn and had to bail. That was when I ended up going to Texas the first time. And Manny Arsenault jumped in there, filled my spot, and they loved him in Weyburn. So if you ask what is he doing, he's doing community appearances and doing very well at those. Just a poll question, by the way. Clark came up with this. Real nice, Clark. Real good question. The Capital Auto Mall Universal Collision Center poll question. Who is the best NFL team at Christmas? He's come up with four options. The 49ers, the Ravens, the Saints, or the Seahawks. Dallas Cowboys are going to win it all. It's not an option, believe it or not. Who would you guys vote for? Of those four, 49ers, Ravens, Saints, Seahawks.
Seahawks by me.
It's Baltimore.
It's Baltimore by 68% of the vote.
Yeah.
So vote on that. You got 24 hours to do so. We've got all kinds of comments coming in on the Facebook wall. Sports update coming up.
Can I sneak something in before the break?
Briefly, because our next guest is ready and waiting.
It's happening in Saskatoon, and your niece is going to be part of it with the Regina Rebels. This was passed along to me this morning. The midget AAA, the female stars, they're retiring Emily Clark's number tonight. She's now gone on to play U18s for Team Canada, played in the NCAA with Wisconsin, and now a big member of the Canadian national team. And so her number 13 is getting retired tonight in Saskatoon when they play at Merlis Belcher Place.
Saw that from Darren Stanky. Yeah. That's pretty cool.
So that's neat. So that was passed along to me from the Stars. So I wanted to get that in the warm-up, and it's the holiday season, World Juniors. It kind of fits in.
Quiet on the set! Thank
Anybody
you.
There?
We'll be back. What do you think this is, a movie theater? It's live theater. We're highly trained professionals. We'll be back with Tyron Brackenridge after this break. It's a Football Friday. Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Every sale held in 2019 has led up to our biggest event of the year. Ring in the savings with year-end clear out at Capital Ford Lincoln. We're making a list and checking it twice of the biggest savings on brand new vehicles this holiday season. Get into a brand new 2019 4x4 F-150 for as low as $33,495 plus tax. And brand new 2019 Ford Escapes are starting at just $23,999 plus tax. It's the most wonderful time of the year at Saskatchewan's largest Ford store, Capital Ford Lincoln in Regina.
Direct West provides us with stats and analytics, and it's amazing for us to look and see that, you know, each year we're 10 to 20% higher on our Google leads. It's great to see the success that our locations are having. The Direct West app gives us an opportunity to be in one place for people to find any of our locations or our commodities. Without Direct West, we would have to be in multiple digital places. I would recommend Direct West. They're great to work with.
Hi, I'm Joshua John Batista. I'm a staff radiation oncologist at the Allen Blair Cancer Center. CT simulators are essential for all modern radiation treatments. Before a patient can undergo the treatment planning process, the CT simulator is the first step. So it allows us to plan and deliver radiation treatments for thousands of patients.
This isn't just a beer. This is a double-aged, never-back-down, full-of-heart Western beer. This is a beer brewed by 16 guys who risked it all. Original 16. Underdogs since 1989.
Laid back and kicking it, let's head back to the studio. Here's Rod.
Welcome back, Football Friday, everybody. Time for a sports update. Just ahead of Tyron Brackenridge joining us from Hawaii. Chris Tanev scored in overtime, and Jacob Markstrom stopped 38 shots as the Vancouver Canucks edged the Vegas Golden Knights 5-4 Thursday at Rogers Arena. Chicago Blackhawks beat the Jets 4-1 in Winnipeg on a productive outing from Patrick Kane. He scored a goal and set up the others for a four-point night. Montreal Canadiens are on a roll. Max Domi scored the overtime winner as Montreal edged the Flames 4-3 in Calgary for their fourth win in five. I watched that one on Sportsnet. That looked like a lot of fun. Great night in the Dome. A big night for Marcus Hogberg. The Senators goalie earned his first career NHL win as Ottawa beat the visiting Nashville Predators 5-4. Anthony Duclair scored the winner 2:40 into the extra frame in that one. Also, Minnesota beat the Wild 8-5 and Carolina down the Avalanche 3-1. The Toronto Raptors got some bad news on the injury front. They say three of their key players, including top scorer Pascal Siakam, are out indefinitely with injuries sustained during Toronto's win over the Pistons on Wednesday. Spicy P has a groin injury. Marcus Gasol out with a strained hamstring, and Norman Powell has a dislocated shoulder. Russell Westbrook scored a season-high 40 points. James Harden added 28, and the Houston Rockets rallied from a 16-point deficit in the second half to beat the Clippers 122-117 last night. Can you, Smitty, hand me my Russell Westbrook bobblehead, please? And we'll give him prominence. It's the Rockets one right there.
Yeah, that's
thank
nice.
You. That is courtesy of the Houston Rockets, an actual gift. Russell gets prime seating for the rest of the show for the outing he had last night. That's the Friday morning sports update for Ballers Rec Room, Regina's newest entertainment destination. And if you're looking for Christmas gift ideas, why not pick up a Ballers gift card? Craig Smith joins us in the studio, two-time Grey Cup champion, our director of scouting. How are you doing, Smitty?
Doing well.
And John Frenzy, Hall of Fame writer, broadcaster. It's our honor to go out on the video chat line to join Tyron Brackenridge, longtime friend of this province and now a friend of this program. T-Brock is in Hawaii this morning. How you doing, Tyron?
I'm doing well. How are you guys this morning?
Shit. We're doing great. What time is it in Hawaii, by the way? It's pretty early out there, is it not?
Yeah, about 6:30 in the morning right now. Well, I think I'm still adjusted to this. I'm still to the California time, so it's 2 hours behind California time, so it's not too bad.
I'm sure it's not too hard of an adjustment from I hear from all my Hawaiian friends. Tyron, hey, can you give me an update right now in your life? You were part of that Argos coaching staff last year. Do you know your future here going into 2020?
Right now, it's just, you know, just waiting on a couple coaches for a couple situations and see what move they want to make. But right now, I'm just sitting on ice.
You know, I was not surprised when you got into the coaching game and not shocked that it was with the Argos and with Corey Chamberlain. But now you're in it, man. It's quite a life to live. It's the nomadic lifestyle. You're somewhat new at it, but anybody that knows you knew that you would be a great coach. Has it lived up to everything that you expected that it would?
Yeah, it was everything that I thought it would be. I enjoyed every bit of it. You know, it's something that I've grown to love. At first, it was coaching wasn't my passion. It wasn't what I wanted to do. And then when I got the opportunity to coach, I just fell absolutely in love with it. It gives me an opportunity to be around the game and also teach the game. And as I'm growing, I'm helping these players grow to be the best they can be.
John Lynch here, Tyrone. Taking a look at the Argos for next year, can you make a statement at all or how they're going to be with Blindball taking over there and the new coach, which I'm quite surprised if they choose him. So how do things look from your point of view, just sort of a bystander?
The organization is a good organization. They have an opportunity to be a good team. You know, it's just a couple key positions that needs to be filled, and I think that that football team will be where it needs to be in the form of their were in 17 and championship years. But, you know, it's a couple players, you know, they need to move on with. And then there's a couple players that they need to add. I think they could be a great, great team.
Tyron, and we'll have Craig Smith jump in with some real nuts and bolts football questions too here in a minute. But Frenzy wanted to jump forward, and that's fine. I just want to look back. It was 4-14, I believe, the Argos this year. What is there a misconception out there as to how the season went? As you look back and you coaches all spend the time, you know, grading your players, looking back, is there much that you would have changed? How do you look at the 2019 season?
I think we had some good players that some good veteran players, and then we had a lot of young players, and then I think injuries also played a major part on it, especially for the defense side of the ball. We dealt with a lot of injuries and just kind of plugging guys here and there and just never had that solid chemistry on defense. But they performed well in some ways. Offensively, I think that we did some good things. We put up yards, we put up the numbers, but we wasn't scoring touchdowns. And, you know, the object of the game is score touchdowns and stop the opponent from scoring, and we struggled with that.
Well, and you were in some tight ones, too. Just, I saw you at Touchdown Atlantic. Didn't go your way, but I was just telling somebody the other day, went down to the last play against Montreal. I'm pretty sure you've never been part of a touchdown Atlantic. I hadn't. Can you talk about that game in Moncton that day and how much fun it was despite the heartbreak at the end?
Man, that was we had our foot on their throats and early in the game. We had a couple missed opportunities going into halftime. I think what did it was going into halftime, I think we were inside the five. We fumbled the snap and we could have scored going right before the half. And then we come out and kick the ball off and kick the ball out of bounds. And then the next play, we throw a deep ball for a touchdown. And when you're giving up explosions like that and you're giving up stupid penalties and creating dumb plays such as that nature, it's very hard to win football games in any league.
Yeah, unforced errors. Over to you, Smitty. Yeah.
Hey, Brock, how you doing, man?
Hey, how we doing, Smitty? Long time, no talk.
Yeah, this guy, I was in the league 19 years, and this guy was one of my favorites.
Oh, yeah.
He brought it all the time. He was one of the best free safeties that I've seen. I've seen a lot, Grady Kavnis, Benny Thompson. This guy was one of the best. You obviously had success in Toronto. You had you got a ring from there, and then last year was not what you wanted. What about your future? What about irons in the fire right now? Are you looking across the CFL? How about NFL opportunities, or even college? Maybe going back to Wazoo, and what's going to happen?
Right now, I'm just exploring my options. Right now, honestly, seeing what's out there for me. If it's CFL, I would love to get back in the CFL, but if nothing happens there, I have to continue to move on. I can't just sit here and not do anything. I said I'm sitting on ice, but I'm actually working right now, keeping cool. Mm-hmm. I'm actually sitting in nice Hawaii and nice and warm, good weather. But I'm shopping around, I'm making phone calls, sending in resumes, and doing everything it takes to put myself back in a spot.
You need a reference. Don't hesitate to put my name down. I'd love to do that for you. Now whereabouts are you living? Are you living in Hawaii right now, or are you back over on the mainland?
Yep. I'm in California, Riverside, in California. Still.
Are you heading over to the bowl game to see Wazoo?
No. I will be here.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And actually, T. Brock, it wasn't the last time we talked, but I think it was the last long interview we had. You were just getting into being a financial planner in Riverside, and I thought, boy, that sounds nice. And you were smiling, you were ready. Did you just miss football that much? Was that the deal? Because I know you well enough, and Smitty would agree, you're going to be a success at whatever you do, because you're a good guy, you're a smart guy, talented guy. Was it just that you missed ball?
No, actually, that field has not changed. I'm actually going back to school, and then I have classes in January from the 7th through the 10th, and then I'll be ready to take my investment license course.
Right.
I didn't finish it going into that 2017 season, and I'm going to finish it this time around. So, but nothing has changed in that aspect.
Good for you. Duty called. I get it. Frenzy, what do you got?
Tyrone, now, what about Toronto in this situation? Can it be turned around? Can we get to a situation where the people in Toronto want to come to football games? I've been in those stadiums down there, and they've been filled over the past few years. So people down there know what football's all about. They don't want to come for some reason. Is the game not exciting enough, or what do you see?
Hey, you build what I said. You build the field, they all come. Well, if you build a winning program, they all come. In 2017, towards the end of the season, when we went on that winning streak and we went in through the playoffs, I mean, the stands were filled. So if you're winning football games, people are going to come. You know, it's a great area. The field's right off the water. You know, it's tons of people there. You just have to win ball games. Nobody wants to come to ball games and your team is not winning. It's a popular city. It's a front-running city. You got tons of professional teams there. But people want to go into a winning atmosphere. People want to enjoy that energy. And when you win in ball games, people are going to come.
You know, it's funny you say that. It reminds me of the Arizona Coyotes. I don't know if you spend any time in Arizona, but they have everything there. Same thing. Beautiful facility, beautiful area. People don't go. But now they're starting to win, and they're realizing it's the exact same thing. It reminds me very similar, even though it's hockey. We have a Argos season ticket holder writing in, Tyron, watching from Toronto this morning. He says, you and Coach Chamberlain utilized Alden Darby, one of the bright spots on a rough season defensively at Sam. corner and safety. Where do you think he's best utilized on the field?
Darby is his best position is free safety. That's where he made most of his plays. Reason why we utilize him in so many different positions because he's a very smart and instinctive player. And he was able to fill in. You know, he was like a seat filler for us. Whoever went down, we could put him in that position because he knew the ins and outs of the defense. But his best position was free safety.
Tyron, lastly, before we let you go, I can't get out of here without a Ryder question for you in the 2013 Grey Cup because it's one of the most special teams in CFL history. And winning at home is rare. When you think about that day, that season, what do you think of?
Man, every time I go back, that was like a glorified home game. Like when you just see that, when you look into the stands, it was just a sea of green. Hamilton had every bit of 13 fans. that game was so electrifying. I mean, it was weird how that whole week went. It was like negative 10,000, like the first couple of days of that week. And then going into game time, it just cleared up. The weather was perfect. It was crisp, clear skies, and it was just everything was just written for us to just take over that game and bring that championship, bring that Grey Cup back to Regina.
Not shockingly, we still talk about it almost every day around here. There was a bit of an argument came up this week that did you practice indoors at all that week? Do you remember, or were you outside every day?
One time.
No, we went out to Moose Jaw like day one.
One.
Yeah. And I think day two, day three, we went out there and practiced outside.
Yeah.
Well, it worked. Yeah,
was way too cold those first days. I think didn't some guys on Hamilton get frostbite?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's when we all knew that it was going to be the Riders game on Sunday for sure.
Yeah. You know what was crazy, though, in that game? Remember when doubles got hit and Corey catches the ball in midair and marched down the field for about 20, 30 yards? From that point right there, we was like, oh, yeah, we won this game.
We knew it was us.
Yeah, but see, I can go on all day, T-Brock, with this because Ricky Foley says he knew you had it when you guys all burst out of the tunnel at once and you didn't wait for the individual introductions. Sheets has said the same thing. He knew it was your day, won that fumble that he recovered from doubles. Who was it? Somebody else said they knew that 36-1 at halftime. You had a pretty good idea you had it won. And then Brendan Labatt said he didn't even think you had it till doubles knelt down the last time. So everybody had a different take as to when you had it.
Nah, we knew once we was getting ready for that game, we knew we was going to win. Because think about it, like, well, the first time we played Hamilton, I think we goose egged him. I think it was like 50-something zero first game of the season. I think we had like 13, 14 sacks against them. The second time we went out there to Guelph to play them, it was pretty bad. They just didn't match up with us well. We destroyed them. It was they had no chance, man.
Never gets old. No. T-Brack, thanks for the time. Continued success. Yeah. Merry Christmas to your beautiful family. Still following you on Instagram and so forth. And we'll catch up with you in the new year.
All right, likewise. Happy holidays, fellas. Good talking with you guys. Thanks for having me on the show.
Appreciate it.
Love you, Brack.
Tyron Brackenwood checking in from Hawaii this morning. And it's funny, Johnny Meisner writes in on the Facebook wall. He says, burning up my data, listening to the RP show while driving to Portland. Oh. Merry Christmas, Roddy. And that is the Portland, Oregon, not Portland, Maine. So it is the worldwide show. Are they up in Norway yet? Are they up? We got a comment from Trent. Haven't heard from him yet. Nothing. Hey, Trent, wake up. Wiki, wiki. Want to see if they're up in Norway at all. Boy, Smitty, you pull that mic back into that. Those stories never do get old, do they?
Never, never. That's for sure. It's like I talk with my wife all the time about how great that day was in our lives. I mean, you know, the pursuit of another Grey Cup ring. And just like I've said this before, I said I'd tell people, how am I going to get to the Grey Cup this year? Well, I'll take Dewdney. And, you know, going down and going into my own office, and it was just unbelievable. I remember at halftime in 2010, I came to Brendan and I said, Brendan, we're up 3 in the Grey Cup game at halftime. Of course, we lost by 3. And then this game, it was 31-8. I remember, you know, going and I said, taking my jacket off, going in my own office in the Grey Cup and going to Brendan and saying, Brendan, 31-8. We're up 31-8 at the half. You know, and of course him, you know him, he's...
Not confident.
Exactly. You know, so it was just, I'll never forget, you know, walking out there and they had extra lights for that game.
Yep.
And it was just like, wow, look at this. This is incredible.
So great.
Yeah. And like you said, they everybody runs out at, you know, because it's a team game, not an individual game, and just fantastic. And you know, they just harassed Burris. He didn't have a chance. I mean, it was such a great day.
Frenzy, greatest day of your life.
Yep, definitely got to do it again. 2020 is going to be the big day again, eh? November 22nd this year, we're going to make it number 5. You know, when people ask me how many Grey Cups it is, I say we got 4. I hate putting my thumb like that because I'm not that ambidextrous. I want to get it like that. I want to go like that. 5, right?
Yeah. Well, maybe next year. And as a matter of fact, we'll take a break and come back and talk a little bit more about these things. We had our Christmas party Tuesday night at Ballers Rec Room, and there was a Bomber fan in our midst, the sports doctor. And he was not afraid to throw it around. You know what I mean? That the Bombers were obviously Grey Cup champions from this year, but he thinks they're going to be Grey Cup champions next year. And not shockingly, but Adam Beghill came on here and predicted the same thing this week. So we'll talk about that. Mm-hmm. The sports doctor says the Bombers win all the big games in this stadium. Yeah. The first game, the first playoff game, the first West Final. And Lynch, he says the hockey game. And he says they're going to win the first Grey Cup, too. Jordan Reeves may have some thoughts on that. He'll join us next. It's a Football Friday on the Rod Peterson Show Facebook Live and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
I've chased adrenaline my entire life. But I'm talking fourth quarter. Monster hit. Crowd losing it. Nothing beats the energy of a rush game.
At Prairie Mobile, you can get the phone you want when you want. All smartphones are $0 every day. With convenient locations across Saskatchewan, Prairie Mobile, your Sastel authorized dealer, has you covered. Visit us online at prairiemobile.com.
Universal Collision Center is Saskatchewan's premier auto body shop. Our extensive process ensures that every vehicle that comes through our state-of-the-art facilities is returned pre-accident condition and that every UCC customer experience is an easy one. We're certified to repair all makes, all models, and all luxury brands, and Universal Auto Spa offers full-service detailing packages to suit you and your vehicle. Plus, we're the official body shop of your Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Universal Collision Center, 3910 Rochdale Boulevard and 2355 First Avenue in Regina.
Bronco Plumbing and Heating has been servicing Regina and surrounding areas since 1978. At Bronco, we service all makes and models of furnaces, air conditioners, water heaters, and water softeners. Bronco also provides full sewer service, plumbing service, and duct cleaning. Call Bronco Plumbing and Heating today at 306-781-2090. Proud sponsor of the Rod Peterson Show.
If you're looking for radio that's got a great message, well, we've got it. LTD Radio plays the best of the 60s to the 90s, all with amazing stories about people right from your community. You can listen live right now at ltdradio.com, iTunes, Streama, and TuneIn. LTD Radio, music to build a better day.
Oh yeah, he's back. Time for more of the Rod Peterson Show.
Welcome back, everybody. Friday morning, episode number 141 of the Rod Peterson Show, Canada's only mid-morning sports show coming your way. We got a couple themes going just ahead of Jordan Reeves. One, with the college bowl season opening today, we're saying what your college bowl game name is. The last restaurant you ate at and the last thing you bought. So for me, it's the Guadalajara Tim Hortons Bowl. Guadalajara Mexican restaurant. You, Smitty, you got a good one.
That's a good one. Nicky's. Went to Nicky's yesterday with Daryl Davis for breakfast. Nicky's Snow Beef Tenderloin Bowl.
What a coveted trophy to win.
Yeah, exactly.
The Nicky's Snow Beef Tenderloin Bowl.
Yeah, and I'm looking forward to that that beef tenderloin on Christmas Eve.
Oh, wow, that'll be awesome.
Mr. Mike Onion Soup Bowl.
I thought it was steak.
Onion soup.
He changed it.
Well, that's good, eh?
We gotta re-engrave the damn trophy. That's funny. The Mr. Mike's French onion soup bowl.
Yeah, that's a good one.
That would be the game that you'd be playing in, Lynch. Between Liberty and Texas A&M.
Yeah, that's right.
Clark tells me we had Jordan Reeves ready, and then I think he went off camera or there's a connection issue, so we'll get to that. But I can tell you what, we can all sit here and talk about that 2013 Grey Cup for a long time.
Yeah.
And somebody wrote in here a while back and said, Rod, we could listen to you tell those stories forever. Well, I could talk about them forever, so it's a good match.
Yeah.
But Ryland Becker, a friend of mine from the Canadian Armed Forces and a strongman competition guy, competitor, writes in and he says that Hamilton player tripping over his own shoes during the player intros, followed by the entire Ryder team running out as a team, that definitely set the table for that day. That was Rico Murray. And that was just literally the Ryder's day. You're right, because he comes out of the tunnel trying to do a whole Ray Lewis thing or a Hulk Hogan thing or something.
Yeah.
His feet go out from under him. Bam!
Yeah.
Lynch, were you at the game? Were you at home watching?
Sure.
Where are you sitting? With Tom Hanks?
Yeah. No, with Lippard and Shep. I mean,
Leopard and Shep. Okay. Lip and Shepherd.
Lip and Shepherd.
You always say that. Yeah. Smitty, where'd you watch? Sidelines?
I was on the sideline, yeah. Yeah, it was just incredible.
I swore
just
a lot.
Great. I love seeing Gior getting the two touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
And again, you knew it was our day when Darian fumbles. It doesn't go into Picard's hand. It doesn't go into Labatt's hand. It goes into Corey's hand. And then he runs for, I think, wasn't it the biggest gain of the run of the game?
21 yards?
Yeah.
Oh, at that, no, well, what did it end up being?
He set the record, 97
yards. 197
yards. 197
yards.
Yeah.
But I remember, I would say everybody's talking about when did we know that it was the Riders' day. For me, it was when I pulled up to 7-Eleven at 10 a.m. on my way to the stadium. Because T-Brack was right. It was minus a million all week. Yeah. And then that day, I'm walking into the 7-Eleven. I pull the door open and boop.
Yeah.
Water dropped on me.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what the heck? It warmed up so well that it was melting. And I'm like, wow, this is going to be a great day. Everything continued to be a great day.
Yeah. I used to watch practice a lot. And we went out to Moose Jaw for the first day. It was cold, but... And then the next day we practiced at Taylor for Mosaic. And then the next day, and I sit in the stands and it was cold those 2 days. It was unbelievable how cold it was those 2 days. And then all of a sudden, game day, and it's so nice. And we're going, holy cow, we're blessed upon today. And
I talked to several Ticat fans going into that game, and they were confident, to say the least. They thought for sure they had it in the bag. We should just mail it in because of the way things were. So,
yeah.
I mean, that was a great one for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders.
Sure was. And the other thing, after the game, nobody left.
No.
Like stayed there for hours.
Stayed there forever. I mean, it was so cool.
Well, you pay that amount of money, you should be able to stay forever.
And it'll all be replicated again, eh?
In 2020. Well, hang on. Let me hold that thought. On the Prairie Mobile text line, 306-840-8777, buy now, pay later at Prairie Mobile. All smartphones are $0 every day using SaskTel Plus pricing. Tanner from White City writes in and he says, how about when Hank missed the snap? Remember that one?
Oh, sure absolutely. Do, yeah.
Right
yeah.
by him. Whoop.
Yeah.
And who fell on it? The guy that we got in the trade from Winnipeg for Patty Neufeld, the big D end.
Alex Hill.
Yeah.
Alex Hall.
Alex Hall.
He jumped on it. Kelly Bruce writing in on the text line to say, good morning, Rod. See you tomorrow at Southland Mall, going to come and see you and buy your book. Thank you. Tomorrow, 1 till 5 at the Southland Mall, we'll be doing a book signing with the Saskatchewan Junior Hockey League. Our book, Heart and Soul of the SGHL, A 50-Year History. That's tomorrow, 1 till 5 at the Southland Mall. Come on down and see us. Which reminds me, DuPont's running around here. We've been requested to bring mugs. Can you tell Darren that? And apparel. You don't have to do it right now, Ryan, but... mugs and apparel for the Rod Peterson Show we've been asked to bring. Kelly goes on to say, Merry Christmas to everyone at the Rod Peterson Show. My bowl game, the Fireside Bistro Lotto Max Bowl.
Good one.
Lotto Max.
These all sound real good.
Yeah.
From Stephen Kleinsaucer. Writes in, he says, hey, Rod, checking in from Martinsville, Sask. Feet up, drinking coffee, enjoying the show. says Frenzy puts the STD in stud when it comes to entertainment. Take that for what you will. And he says, also want to give a shout out to Kenny Waz. He's always watching. Ken Wasden. That's right. We got a lot of viewers and listeners up in Saskatoon, and we appreciate their support. From Brady in Saskatoon, he writes in, I know, Rod, that it's a football show, but the Raptors are down three significant players on their team. And my question is the Raptors Christmas Day game still must see TV on Christmas Day? Hashtag I believe in Nick Nurse. I would suggest it is. You guys probably watch NBA on Christmas Day. Do you not? Or maybe you don't. Yeah, I always do.
I don't.
Yeah, they have a triple header just like the NFL is going to have a triple header on Saturday.
Right.
Troy Koser writes in. He says, hey, Roddy, great show as always. Watching in Los Cabos. Merry Christmas. Feliz Navidad, Troy. Thank you. Our friend Mike Lee. Mydale Mike writes in. He says, the Cottage London Drugs Bowl. Ironically, we were at the Cottage together. Thank you, Mike. So, look, and we got Richard Sindania here from the Calgary Stampeders. He'll be coming in an hour or two. We're awaiting a connection with Jordan Reeves, wherever Jordan Reeves is. I'm hoping to get Jordan on here in hour one. But, and Richard will have some thoughts on. Are you a free agent, Richard?
No, I'm not.
So you're locked up with Calgary. So he might have an argument with the suggestion that it'll be between Saskatchewan and Winnipeg to be in the Grey Cup next year out of the West. Because the Bombers think they're going to be in here and win the game. What do you two think?
Oh, there's so many different things that have to happen, you know, with regards to free agency and signings and quarterbacks. And, you know, if it's the same guys that come through, they've got a really good chance. But so does Saskatchewan. I've said that so many times on this show.
They think they're going to have a dynasty, from what I've heard.
Who?
Bombers? The guys I've talked to.
The Winnipeg?
Yeah.
I hear that, too.
It's hard to have a dynasty nowadays, just with regards to the way free agency is. Again, here we go again. CFL is going to be great. The old Calgary Stampeders, you know. I mean, you can't count them out. Edmonton with a new quarterback and his direction to Trevor Harris.
New coach,
Harris.
You mean?
New coach with direction for Harris. I mean, and BC, what's going to happen there, you know, with Rick?
But they got to be better.
They have to be better.
Yeah. You know?
Should be a very exciting year in the Western Conference.
Very much so. Again.
Yeah.
You know, so it'll be interesting, but it's always tough. It's tough to win a Grey Cup, and it's always tough to repeat.
Yeah. You know?
Well, here's a guy that has some thoughts on that. He's from Winnipeg, plays with the Riders, and Jordan Reeves joins us. I believe he's pending free agent. There he is. Jordan joining us from where? Where are you at this morning, Jordan?
North Carolina.
Beautiful. How are things down in North Carolina this afternoon? Looks beautiful behind you.
Yeah, you know, it's a little chilly right now. It's about 6 degrees out, 7 degrees. So, you know, winter's kicking in full force right now.
Should I be congratulating you on getting engaged, Jordan? I think that's the biggest news with you over the last little while. Tell us a little bit about that and the next Mrs. Reeves.
Yeah, definitely. We got engaged on November 1st. We came back to watch the playoffs. Obviously, that didn't end as well. But, yeah, we got engaged. Amber Balkin, future Amber Reeves, you know, NASCAR driver down here in North Carolina. Great girl. Couldn't be more excited.
Wow. Well, I'll say it again. Congratulations. Listen, we have 36% female viewers. They care more about this than the male viewers, but tell the story, because you did do something pretty romantic from what I saw.
Yeah, so one of my best friends, Brett Anderson, he's a professional videographer, and he had come down to North Carolina to visit a couple months back, and I had this big elaborate idea that I wanted him to make this kind of love story with me and Amber, and then have our whole proposal on film. And what I got him to do is kind of call us and fake like he had this wedding convention and he had a booth set up and he needed a love story to show to some potential clients. And he wanted to use me and Amber as the models. So that kind of took away from the actual proposal. So this whole time, you know, my buddy is rushing us to get to these shoots and, you know, forcing us to do these things. And sometimes that Amber didn't want to do it. We just got to do it for him. My good friend, let's just get it done. So she was a trooper, you know, she was upset with some of the timing, but it all worked out. And then I had actually called Brian Bowman, mayor of Winnipeg, a great friend. We've met him a couple times, and I asked for a little help, and he got in contact with people at the Human Rights Museum in Winnipeg. We got the lookout tower blocked off for us, and you know, I got my friend to call us one more time and be like, you know, I just finished editing this video. I need one more, just a final little proposal, final little night kind of shoot. I just need one more day with you guys. Could you come? And that's when I had the proposal planned. It worked out perfectly. We're out in the lookout tower, and, you know, when she turned around, I was on the knee. I forgot everything I had rehearsed all week. But, you know, it came back to me, and it was one of the best days of my life, and I'm sure it'll be one of the best days moving forward. But, yeah, I'm just happy that we got that on film and we can enjoy that for the rest of our lives.
Go ahead, Smitty.
What?
He's leaking over here. He's got a tear running down his cheek. Very romantic.
I just wanted to mention my wife and I used to have season tickets in Winnipeg when your father played, and it was such a treat to watch him. It was unbelievable how great of a running back he was. When he scored a touchdown, he used to go give a ball away in the end zone, and just a great guy for the CFL. Just wanted to ask you about rehab. How's everything going with regards to your rehab?
Oh, it's going amazing. You know, we've been running about 6 months in, I believe. I'm back to lifting heavy. The only thing I'm really not doing right now is full speed cutting. Everything else feels great. I got my mobility back, strength back. It's feeling great. You know, just those little minor aches and pains. But other than that, knee's feeling great. I am a free agent, like you said, at the beginning of the year. But I'm just, body's ready to get back on that field. I missed it for too long now.
You'll be ready to go at training camp?
Oh, yeah, I'll be 100% at training camp. Yeah.
Cool. Now, you look into that, the teams next year, the five teams, and I think the Western Conference is going to be very exciting, exceptionally exciting this year, with Winnipeg returning, thinking they've got a dynasty there. Riders got the Grey Cup here 2020. Want to win that Grey Cup and make it their fifth Grey Cup. And Winnipeg and, of course, Calgary want to recover from what happened to them. Very embarrassed. Edmonton with a new coach who's a winner. And BC, well, they got a new coach. So how do you see it as a player going into this year?
I think I think I heard you say it earlier, the Western Conference is going to be different this year. You know, like you said, Winnipeg wants to come back and repeat. But, you know, we got the cup at home. Sorry, technically speaking, SAS got the cup at home next year. So they're going to want to show out. Calgary, they had an upset in the playoffs. So they're definitely going to want to come out and prove something. BC's got to prove something from last season. So it's going to be a good mix-up. You know, we got new coaches in different places. We got players moving around. So it's going to be interesting. It's going to be an interesting Western Conference next year, and I'm excited to hopefully be a part of the Western Conference again.
Do you have any feeling on where you might be? Have you talked to any teams yet, Jordan? I mean, free agency doesn't open for almost 2 months, but I guess now you're allowed to talk to teams. They say tampering's legal. So any idea where you're going to be?
No idea. I definitely know where I want to play, and I have in my mind what I want to get for a contract. You know, I think I've proven myself on the field what I can do on special teams, and once I get on rotation on the D-line, I know I can show that I could be a great rotational player there. So it's just a matter of what's going to be a good fit for me. You know, I'm trying to step out of that kind of rookie and, like, my first couple of years playing professional football. I feel like I'm moving towards the vets now. I'm moving into my fourth year, so I feel like I have a lot to offer teams, and it's just going to be the best fit for me, whoever offers the best fit.
Yep, and you can be a weapon on special teams. I've seen it with my own eyes. And as Richard Sindani nods his head over here, he agrees. Obviously, he's lined up against you of the Stampeders. Look, before I let you go, there's a lot of things that I like about you, and you know that. But one of those is you're a must-follow on Twitter. And when that coaching stuff came out with the abuse in coaching, you took to defense of coaches and kind of went after soft people in today's society. And some people went after you, and you didn't back down, which I loved even more. So what's it like getting in those Twitter wars? And can you give me your thoughts on the Me Too movement in sports?
Yeah, Twitter's a funny place, man. It's a real funny place. You know, you could say your opinion on a matter, and in a matter of minutes, you have thousands of other people just putting their two cents in and adding a narrative to it. And in this tweet that you're talking about, I know which one you're talking about. I wasn't saying society's soft in the sense of these people are coming forward and saying what happened with these coaches, and and I'm not condoning what the coaches did, you know, using a racial slur that's never appropriate, you know, hitting a player, never appropriate. What I was saying is how society's changed with social media nowadays, where back then when I put my example out, you know, that happened with me and my coach. I dealt with it. I told my dad dealt with him, and that's what happened. We moved on. I didn't have social media where that happened. I could hop on my phone right now, film the coach and say, oh, look what you just did. I'm going to get you fired. I'm going to put you on the internet for everybody to see, and have a million other people put their two cents in. So what I was saying is, if this thing happened 10 years ago, if this thing happened 6 years ago, deal with it then. Don't wait 10 years to put it on social media and then have a bunch of other people come and put their two cents in. And now all of a sudden this man looks like the demon, when really he maybe did one bad thing. So I'm just saying society is just, it's changing to a world of more social media. And everybody, I'm going to say irrelevant people, because they're irrelevant to the situation and they get a say on this man's future. So I don't condone what the coaches did. I just don't like how social media is bringing light to everything.
Yeah, and can vilify guys. And lastly, I saw a comment about your brother Ryan last night. Somebody said that he's the only tough guy left in the Western Conference of the National Hockey League, and he can do whatever he wants out there on the ice. Good and bad. How do you feel about that comment and what your brother's doing with the Golden Knights?
I'm the biggest Ryan Reeves fan out here. You know that, Rod. So I love what he's doing, man. He's the most feared NHL player. And, you know, listening to Don Cherry say it, that's big. I remember him saying that, I think it was 2 years ago, that Ryan Reeves was the toughest player in the NHL. And coming from a man like Don Cherry, that's huge. And you know what? Like, when my brother's on the ice, everybody's game changes. They know they can't run around and do whatever they want. They know that if they do something, there's repercussions. Now, when he's off the ice, they feel free to do whatever they want. So that's a huge impact player. I know he's not scoring 20 goals or 20 assists a season, but right now he's leading in hits. That means when that puck's going into the corner, those defensemen know he's on the ice, and they're going to second guess if we're going in that corner hard, if we're going soft, take a second look. So he's a game changer in my mind. Maybe not in the points, but you know, he changes the mind of a lot of players on the ice. And I think it's true, man. I think he's the last tough enforcer out there in the West Conference, and he leads his Golden Knights in that. They're not scared when they go on the ice because they know they got him to back them up.
What's amazing is I was in the Western Hockey League when Ryan was in the Western Hockey League. He's tougher now than he was then. Did you watch him with the week? Not that he wasn't tough in Brandon, but he didn't play in Brandon like he's playing in Vegas.
Right. So yeah, I used to go watch him in Brandon all the time. We'd make the road trip out to go see him. And it's funny because when he was in the WHL, he wasn't so much as an enforcer. You know, he still had nice hands back then. He was probably mid on the team in goals and assists. It's when he realized that he was that much stronger than everybody on skates that he saw his ticket into the league. He knew his hands were good enough to get there. He knew his play was good enough to get there, but he knew he was that much tougher than anybody and that the league would notice that. So that he saw his ticket in, he used it. And I think he did the best thing possible to get into the league. He established his name. He went after the tough guys, the big guys in his first couple of years, made his name known. And now he's weaning off the fighting. He hasn't been fighting as much, but everybody knows who he is.
Smart guy, just like you. Jordan, thanks for the time. Appreciate it. Merry Christmas. Sounds like it's going to be a great one. And all the best in 2020. We're following closely.
Appreciate it, Rod. Merry Christmas.
All right, guys. Jordan Reeves joining us from North Carolina today. That's it on Hour 1. Richard Sindani of the Calgary Stampeders joining us in Hour 2. More with Frenzy and our Director of Scouting, Craig Smith. You're watching The Rod Peterson Show. It's a Football Friday on Facebook Live and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Every sale held in 2019 has led up to our biggest event of the year. Ring in the savings with year-end clear-out at Capital GMC. We're making a list and checking it twice of the biggest savings on pre-owned vehicles this holiday season. Check out this loaded, certified pre-owned 2019 Chevy Equinox. Get it under the tree for just $25,998 plus tax. And this loaded, certified pre-owned 2019 GMC Acadia is only $32,997 plus tax. Only at Canada's number one certified pre-owned dealer, Capital GMC in Regina.
You need to adapt and you need to move forward. You can't be stuck in 1920. Direct West is on the top of their game. They know what they're doing, how they're doing it, and when you work with Direct West, things are good. There's no going backwards, they're moving forward. My business would not be where it is today without the help of Direct West to help me with my website and my Facebook and all my online presence. I've worked with Direct West for about 10 years and it's been a great experience.
He's covering everything that matters to you. It's the Rod Peterson Show. Tune in live Monday to Friday, 10 a.m. to noon to catch the show live and be a part of the action. Take control by commenting live and sharing the show with your friends.
Locally owned and family operated, Emerald Water, refreshing the Rod Peterson Show. From reverse osmosis to natural alkaline and distilled water, they are perfect for your home and office. Saskatchewan's number one source for commercial alkaline with natural electrolytes and minerals that are better for your body. Naturally occurring magnesium, calcium, bicarbonate, and potassium are amazing for your health. Trust 30 years of experience and drink water that matters from Emerald Water.
A man's personality and character is exuded through his haircut. Your image is important. Our high-end services range from a traditional haircut and shave to gray blending, beard shaping, and unwanted hair removal. Located at 425 Victoria Avenue East, book your appointment online now at modernmen.ca or call Tammy 306-522-4111. Modern Men, a haircut for the modern man.
For more Rod Peterson on demand, visit rodpeterson.com.